Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
You know, we're proud to have you joining us again here on Defined by Moments. So go ahead and open your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Today, we are going to wrap up the third chapter of this Diary of a Dignitary, where Solomon is really reflecting upon his life. And I believe is writing some things for his son to read, to learn, and to grow from, which unfortunately he did not do. But where we are right now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses, we've talked about this, one of the more famous passages of Scripture because of a song in the 1960s by the Byrds. You know, they put these words to a tune, and it became a hit. But unfortunately, when you don't situate them in the context that Solomon is writing, you miss the meaning. Solomon is, in essence, laying out for us that time, you either use it well or you're going to lose it to never have it back. We see that he shifts in verses 9 through 15, where he really hammers home the point that we need to have principles that are based upon fearing God, that he has a plan, whether we like it or not, and he makes no mistakes. What does that mean? That means God created everything beautiful in its time, and he has placed eternity in our hearts. That piece is critical as it is a backdrop for what we're going to see in verses 16 through the end of the chapter in verse 22. In essence, I would say that Solomon, continuing this theme of time, this theme of making sure that you understand your purpose and your place in life, he shifts and he says that mortal life is vanity. It's worthless. It's meaningless. So he seems to be taking a dark turn again, but let's read here in verse 16. Moreover, so he's continuing here. He says, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. In essence, we're going to take these series of verses and we're going to break them into two parts. The first part is what I would call deceit. So let's stop and think about this aspect of deceit that we have taking place. And Solomon cites two very specific examples. And those examples are in the court of justice, and then also in the place of righteousness. So it's not only the court of law, but also in the temple that he sees people that are pretending to be righteous or just when in fact they are wicked and evil. Now, I want to stop here. You know, Solomon is saying that, you know, life is not fair and it's not just, but notice how he does this. And notice what he points to, because this is critical. Again, we see him reference the phrase, under the sun. So what he's doing is he is taking that shift again down from heaven to now just life on earth. And he says the normal way of life here, it is filled with deceit. But notice his. He says, I saw. Now let's stop, because Solomon is the king of Israel, which means he has gone into a court of law with officials that more than likely he appointed, and he is witnessing them doing things that are unjust. He is going into the temple where he has seen priests that should be leading the people doing things that are unrighteous. Why did he as the king not go to those court officials and say, turn it around? Why did he not challenge these priests who were doing things unrighteously by going to God's law and saying, you know what? As a king, I have to write out a copy of God's law in my own hand. You're not living like you should. You're not doing things as you should as a priest. He didn't. So we see that Solomon comes out and says, I'm a direct witness, but I didn't do anything to try and stem that tide. That's a sad commentary on a leader. And Solomon, in looking back, you can almost imagine him grimacing with pain because he understands that he messed up. But he doesn't end it there. He doesn't leave it there. In verse 17, he says in his heart, so he is affirming what he knows to be true, that God is going to judge the righteous and the wicked. And notice the phrase, there is a time for every matter and for every work. We are going to see that phrase come again towards the end of the book when he unleashes his final conclusion for all of us. But he gives us the clue that when you're living under the sun, when life is not fair, when life is not just because our human hearts are evil, and we're living that way under the sun, again, God exists above the sun, and he is going to bring judgment that only he can do. You know, we look at our world today and we question, well, should this happen, or why did this happen, or why isn't a judge doing this? Well, folks, there are some very sticky issues that, quite frankly, I, in my human mind, I can't explain. I don't understand. But I'll tell you this, God alone is the righteous judge, and I am confident to leave those things with him. So first of all, we see that, you know, Solomon, in looking at mortal life and the vanity of it, he says that life is filled with deceit. But then he looks at a second D word, death. Notice verse 18. He said, I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is vanity. Whew, boy, he's taking a dark turn here. He says, you know what? Death comes for us all. Death comes from whether or not we are the rich or whether we are criminal. Death comes from whether you are a beast, an animal that has no soul, or whether you are created in the image of God. We all are going to face death in our life. And that's vanity. It's worthless. But again, that's life under the sun. And that's why it's important to understand what Solomon is saying before. There is a time for all these things. Then he shifts and says, we should fear God. So Solomon is creating the sandwich of, you know what? There's a season for things. If you're having a great success, there's a time of difficulty coming. By the way, you should fear God. Oh, you know what? Life is really filled with deceit and death, and that's depressing. But we have to go back to the middle. If you go to a fast food restaurant and you order some kind of a burger, if they only give you two pieces of bread, you're going to go and say, hey, what I'm missing is the most important. That's the same thing here with chapter 3, which is why that song by the birds, although it is extremely famous and well-known, it doesn't teach what is needed for change to occur in the life. Notice verse 20. Solomon says, all go to one place. All are from dust, and to dust all return. So if we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, we see that Solomon is quoting this freely. God made us from dust, and we will return to dust. So that we need to make sure that we understand why. We need to see that as a result of the sin nature. That death is what causes us to return to dust. Adam and Eve rebelled against God, and we bear that fruit. This was Adam. This was a lack of him living up to that promise. But in Genesis 3:15, we have the promise of redemption. And that's what gives us hope. That's us living above the sun. Because God who exists in heaven, God who exists outside of time, God who was, you know, he is eternal, he is all powerful, he created time, he created this earth, he created you. He sent his son to this earth to live a sinless life, to live under the sun, but with a nature from above the sun, so that he alone could be the sacrifice for us. Notice how he wraps this up in verses 21 and 22. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down to the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? We need to note that a spirit is placed in our body. And when we die, that spirit leaves the body. Again, God has put eternity in our hearts. And when we are trying to fill that eternity that is in our hearts with things that are temporal, we're not satisfied. And we are wasting the time that we have on this earth. Solomon here doesn't answer the question. And there's a reason why. A teacher during this culture in this time would not answer a question that the student should obviously know the answer to. And that's what's taking place. God really is the answer to the question. Who can bring man to see what will be after him? God knows it. Who knows whether the spirit of the man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down to the earth? God does, because he knows everything. So Solomon reaches this conclusion and goes, there's really nothing better that man should do other than rejoice in our work, for that's our lot. We have a time that we are here on earth. We have a time that we should enjoy the gift of that time that God has given to us. So what? First of all, I think what Solomon is saying here is, we need to make sure that we live not under the sun, but we need to live above the sun. If we are living above the sun, then we have the right focus, which means that we are fearing God, and that translates into specific principles of our lives. Secondly, we need to enjoy our life, because that is where we add life to our days. If you go back and you trace church history, you will see that the practice of monasticism really came to play in the Middle Ages, where, you know, monks would separate themselves from humanity. They would live meager lives without very much, you know, to enjoy. There were those that believed you shouldn't enjoy life, because if you enjoyed life, then that meant that life was your god. But Solomon here is very clearly saying, we should enjoy the life. It is a gift that God has given us, but not to the point that we remove God from our lives. That's where the problem arises. When we focus on the gift instead of looking at the gift giver, we are falling apart. And I want to give you a very specific example of that. Many years after Solomon had ended his time on this earth, and Israel failed to follow God, and they were taken into captivity, we see in Nehemiah chapter 9, specifically in verse 25, the people have been gathered, and they are recounting the sins of the people, and they said this, verse 25, "So they ate and were filled, and became fat, and delighted themselves in your great goodness." That sounds wonderful, but then verse 26, "They were disobedient and rebelled against you and cast your law behind their backs." What happened? They got their focus off of God and became entrenched in their enjoyment of pleasure. They lost God because they focused on the gift. And Solomon is warning us about that here. Number three, your work, which is given by God, can be worship to Him. Again, the requirement is that we have to have the right perspective. We must look at life in the right way and understand the purpose, the time, and therein is how we are able to make sure that our work becomes worship. The final thing that I will say here is something is missing when we live under the sun. That is a theme that is constantly thrown throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, and we are right back to it. And the critical factor here, again, it goes back to that opening section of chapter 3. That song sounds great, but the message is missing. Because when we live under the sun, we remove God from our lives, and therein is where the danger happens. That's why verses 9 through 15 are so important and so integral to the argument that Solomon is putting forward. And what he's doing is that he is saying that God alone endures forever. And what God has done, He's done it for a reason, and that reason is for people to fear before Him. When you live your life with fear of God in your heart. You reverence Him. You understand who you are. You understand where you are. And you see the greatness and goodness of who He is. The time that you have on earth, the time that you spend here will be used for His glory. That's how life matters. That's how you put life in your days, and that is how you can enjoy the gift that God has given you. So as we wrap up Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want to go ahead and put a teaser out there for you. We're going to pause for just a second. In the next two episodes, we're going to be looking at something special because episode 99 and episode 100, I cannot believe that I'm about to hit our 100th episode of this podcast, will take us to something that is important for both life and leadership. And then we will come back and resume here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 with Defined by Moments. So thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back with us in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.